Polling shows that over half of Americans believe we live in a Christian nation. But statistics alone do not prove this. So what does it mean to be a Christian nation? Did the Bible really influence our nation's values and institutions? By acknowledging Americans' Judeo-Christian heritage, do we threaten the freedom of other religions? Join historian David Barton with special guests Glenn Beck, Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, and more as they explore the America our founding fathers envisioned. What if America's story is bolder, more colorful, and more compelling than you ever imagined? This is Foundations of Freedom.
Welcome to Foundations of Freedom, where we look at important aspects of our common heritage that we hear absolutely nothing about today. Joining me today as co-host is Glenn Beck. He's a national radio and television host. He also is a great philanthropist. He's an entrepreneur, and he's a really, really good friend. Glenn, thanks for being here, bro.
Thank you. Can I start, because we're going to talk about Israel, can I start with a story? I met Benjamin Netanyahu 8 years ago, 9 years ago. We had about an hour conversation, and I said, I'd love to do a full hour with you, on a different topic. So the next day I get a call, and he's staying in a hotel in New York, and I'm given his code name that he's staying under. And the Prime Minister is expecting your call, Mr. Beck. Just call this number and his code name. And his code name was John Smith. And he picks up the phone, and I said, Mr. Prime Minister, I don't know what I would have expected, but I would have expected something a little more clever. And he said, in my country, John Smith is clever. What's so funny is, for years, my code name was Haim Solomon. If I was staying in a hotel someplace, I would stay under Haim Solomon.
Under a Jewish name.
And in our country, that is a very clever name. Yeah. It is, not so much. But nobody knows who Haim Solomon is.
Yeah.
And the heritage of our country.
Yeah, we've got a really strong Judeo-Christian heritage. And we're often told we're a Christian nation, and that's fine if you define it right. The court has said America's a Christian nation more than 300 times, but not the way we define it today. Because being a Christian nation means we believe in freedom of religious expression. We love competition. Bring your faith here as well. We're not scared by anybody's faith, and we're not going to coerce you. And we believe in religious tolerance, and we believe in rights of conscience.
Show the little blue book here, because that really shows us. This is what the founders did.
Founding fathers, right here. This is the first report of the American Society for Ameliorating the State of the Jews. This was founded by founding father Elias Boudinot. Boudinot is one of the framers of the Bill of Rights. Boudinot is the guy who signed the peace treaty to end the American Revolution. He was the president of Congress. Boudinot is a huge figure in America. And he is a theologian. He's a Christian. He actually founded the American Bible Society. So nothing squishy about his faith at all. And he looks across the world for persecuted Jews. And he says, we got to get these guys to America where they can have freedom of religion. They can be free to share their faith and express their faith. And so we have to go bring the Jews and protect them. We have to gather them.
Our founding fathers had that understanding of our deep, the Christians,
yeah.
Christianity wouldn't exist if it wasn't for the Old Testament.
You know, and the founders have some great quotes on that. One of the things that John Witherspoon, who's a signer of the Declaration, he's a theologian, he's the president of Princeton, he said, God committed to the Jews the keeping of the Scriptures, and they were really faithful to that important trust. So, you know, we have printed books, and here's a Jewish Bible here that done for World War II that we gave to
right.
Jews. So it's all printed, and we just go to the store and buy one. Back then, it wasn't that way. You and I both have old documents, and one of the old documents we have are these old vellum, which means sheepskin or type Bibles, and they're handwritten. And so we have a Coptic Bible from back with early Christians. And just technology-wise, how many sheep did it take to create a Bible? 400 sheep. You had to kill 400 sheep, you had to tan their hides, you
wow.
had to turn that into, and then you have to have somebody sit down and write by hand, because there's no printing, no movable
right.
press, so you have to write by hand, and then when that wears out, somebody else has got to write. And so we're going here for 3,500 years of the Scriptures that have been passed down, and they've been handwritten. And
every
Jews,
letter of prayer.
Every letter. You and I have both been to the Shrine of the Book in Israel, which has that big scroll of Isaiah.
Yeah.
And 2,000 years later, after how many handwritten copies, it's exactly what we have today. I mean, these guys were faith. God gave them the word, and they we don't have our faith without what the Jews did with what God gave them.
Do you remember, David, when we went to Israel together, and we went with these great pastors and religious people, mm-hmm. and I was very nervous because I knew on that first night in Caesarea what I was supposed to say, and I didn't know how others would take it, and luckily everybody was like, of course. But I remember the night before, at 2:00 in the morning, I went to the wall, and I see there's a rabbi, and he's teaching at 2:00 in the morning. There are people praying, and like you say, they're praying through. It's the closest they can get to the Holy of Holies. Mm-hmm. And so they are praying through the wall. And I thought to myself, where in the Christian world is this happening around the clock 365 days?
Yeah.
Because the Lord came to them and said 3,000 years before, do this.
And they're still doing it
exactly the same way that they were. And so that night in Caesarea, the next day, I said, love people. Love them for what they have brought us.
Right here.
And that's what they were doing.
That's what the founding fathers. And, you know, John Adams, I love this quote by John Adams right there. This is a Hebrew scriptures, and it's for the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, except there was no Israel at the time they did this. And I always get this wrong. Being a good Anglo guy, I go to the wrong side of the book. So I got to get the right side of the book here. But get this and open from the back and come in. And what it is, it's a book of Hebrew scriptures, and it's for the Hebrew soldiers, and it's done in 1947, and it's done out of Munich, Germany. Wait a minute, I thought that's the place that hated the Jews. I thought they were the ones that put them in concentration. Yeah, but now Eisenhower is there. And so Dwight D. Eisenhower approves this, Jewish Hebrew scriptures, and it's for the Israeli Defense Forces before they're even a nation.
It's amazing.
I mean, here's Hebrew scriptures. That
it's love.
It's love.
It's love. Thank you. Thank you for
that's
preserving
right.
it. Then this is love. 1948, April 13th. Right here. Zionist proclaimed state in Palestine.
So that's the announcement that Israel is now a nation. 11 minutes later, President Harry Truman became the first person in the world to recognize the new state of Israel. 11
against
minutes.
Against the State Department?
Against everybody.
That's they
right.
torpedoed him, but
that's
he
right.
stood because he knew what was right.
That's right.
He was a guy based in the Bible.
That's right.
So we're living in a world now that is, the universities are so anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, I think many of our churches are misguided as well. I think some are still convert instead of love.
Mm-hmm.
But the Christians in America...
Let's stop there for a minute, because you and I were talking earlier, and you said the way you respond to Islamic message when you hear a message. Share that about...
Okay, so down in the... underneath in the... where they're doing excavation underneath the mm-hmm. Temple Mount, just outside the Western Wall. You go down far enough, and you will find an archway.
Yes.
Okay? And that archway was open for a long time. After the stones of the temple had been pushed off, there were Jews that were still living in that area, and they were hiding. They were in hiding. And before that was walled up, there were a group of Jews that were hiding in there, okay? That archway was bricked up by people carrying the cross.
Yes.
And
with live Jews still in it.
Live Jews, children.
Children.
And the last thing they saw as those bricks were being bricked in was the crucifix.
Buried alive. They're
right.
being buried
Correct.
Alive.
And stone after stone. Now, we can't open that wall and get their bodies out because it's now under Muslim rule. But if you start 2,000 years ago and then you go into Spain, not one Holocaust, 19 Holocausts
right.
throughout history.
That's
the
right.
Jewish start, that Star of David.
At the hand of Christians.
Yes.
At the hand of Christians.
So this has been going on for 2,000 years. And I thought to myself, let's put ourselves for 2,000 years into the situation that Christians and Jews are in now with Muslims. Mm-hmm. We've done that for 2,000 years. We
That's
have...
Right.
tortured in the name of Christ. We have killed in the name of Christ. How would you... Satan is very clever.
He's very clever.
Anybody to believe that.
And this is one of the problems that we as Christians... And first off, Americans in general have a problem with revisionism. We don't even know our own history, which is why we're doing this kind of stuff, because we don't know our history. But American Christians don't know their history. I mean, we don't know, for example, that when we got into that period of the Dark Ages, nearly 1,000 years, nobody read the Bible. And therefore, we relied on our church leaders and state leaders to tell us what God wanted.
Correct.
And they stood out there and they said, you know what? It was Jews who killed Jesus. If you want to do something really good for Jesus, go kill a Jew. God will love you for killing a
Jew.
And so in the Rhine Valley, we Christians killed 15,000 Jews in one sitting. Because God will be happy if we'll do that. And see, we don't get taught that. We don't get taught the 19 Holocaust in Spain.
Right.
Christians don't know that part of history. Jews do. Jews, and so when I speak to Jews...
Of course you do.
Of course they do, and they know there's Christians that did it.
Yeah.
And so when I speak to Jewish groups, I give the history, because America was different. The Jews in Europe had that hostility. When they came to America, we said, no, we're not doing coercion.
Correct.
We believe in religious tolerance, and we believe in rights of conscience. And so...
Everyone can sit under the vine.
That's right. Everyone can sit under his own vine, and that's the scripture passage. That Washington used. That's what he used to the Hebrew congregation at Newport, quoting right out of the Bible. And so our friend, Rabbi Daniel Lappin, I was doing a Bible conference together at Christian Church. It's really fun. And we did one in Arkansas. And when he came into that two-day conference, he had huge suitcases. Looked like moving trunks. Rabbi, what's the deal? He says, I'm leaving directly from here in Hot Springs. I'm going to Israel. He said, I've had 32 congregations in Israel contact me, and they want me to come talk to them. I said, really? He says, and they've all asked me, without talking to them, they've all asked me to talk about the same thing. I said, what's that? He said, every one of them contacted me and said, we don't understand why American Christians are starting to love us. Come, you deal with Christians. We don't. Come tell us why, because we're suddenly sending, through Mercury One, your charity, you send so much help to Israel, and we're helping their military wall builders. We do the same. And they're saying, tell us, we got the history of Christians. Why are they loving us? And so
they're suspicious.
They're suspicious. I looked at him and I said, what are you going to tell them? He said, I'm going to tell them about the Reformation. I said, they don't know. He said, they've never heard a thing about the Reformation. And the Reformation is when we got back to the Bible. Right. It's when the founding fathers got the Bible back. And we said, whoa, we're not supposed to be killing Jews.
Right.
And Jews know that part of history. They don't know the other part of history. Just like we know our part of history, we don't know what we did to Jews in history. And that's the founding fathers did. They were much better students of history than we were. And what they said and did, just let me take this as an example. Washington's inauguration. This is in New York City in 1789. Federal Hall on the balcony. He's being inaugurated here, and his inauguration had 7 different religious activities in it. Just loaded up. It's interesting that he had his inauguration totally planned by a group of 14 ministers who were rabbis and preachers. You go into the American Revolution, you got majors, Benjamin Nonis, he was a great guy, blockade runner. You have Colonels Isaac and David Franks. You have Mordecai Sheftel, who led the Patriot forces in Georgia. All these guys are Jews. You mentioned Chaim Solomon. He was a financier. To this day, if you go into the business district in Chicago, there is George Washington standing with his 2 guys that funded the Revolution. One hand, he's got Chaim Solomon. The other hand, he's got Robert Morris, Christian and Jew,
You would know this better than anybody. Correct me if I'm wrong. But if you look at Washington and the tight circle of founders during the Revolution, at critical junctures, their diaries will say, I sent for Chaim.
Yeah, that's right.
Because it was Chaim that was the one they could count on.
That's right.
They could do it.
Well, you look at the contributions they made that we don't study in school today.
Right.
Who knows who Chaim Solomon
Nobody.
Is today? Nobody. And that's why you can use the name.
Nobody that's right.
Knows
Nobody's not looking
Nobody,
it up.
That's a clever name here, not there.
Yeah.
Because they know Chaim Solomon.
Right.
But you take and look at that cooperation of Christians and Jews, and one of the most Bible-thumping evangelical right-wing fundamentalist founding fathers, to use all the pejoratives that they use with us today, is going to be Benjamin Rush. He signed the Declaration, ratified the Constitution. He started the Sunday school movement in America. He started the first Bible society in America. All this stuff that Benjamin Rush did, John Adams said he's one of the three most notable founding fathers. So here he is, and John Adams, by the way, put him up with George Washington and Benjamin Franklin and Benjamin Rush. John Adams said that's our three. We never studied Benjamin Rush. He's way too evangelical. He's a civil rights guy. He started the abolition movement in America, led the national abolition movement, trained the first black physician, started the first black denomination, etc. You take him, he lives in Philadelphia. When they got the Constitution finished and ratified, they had a federal parade in Philadelphia. And when they had the parade on the ratification of the Constitution, he wrote about it, and he was thrilled with what it, this is what he wrote. He said, the clergy formed a very agreeable part of the procession. First off, preachers are involved in government things. He said, the clergy formed a very agreeable part of the procession. He said, the rabbi of the Jews locked in the arms of two ministers of the gospel was a most delightful sight. There could not have been a more happy emblem. Judeo-Christian. Those two things. And that's why we've always been different. And now we're getting back to this combative kind of thing that you know, that has caused the
problem.
It's very
European.
It's very European.
And it caused, David, it's because we didn't read our scriptures in, we couldn't in
those
Europe.
1,000 years,
okay?
That's right.
We couldn't read it. We can now, but we don't. We couldn't read it. The church became the governing body.
Yes.
And would tell people, this is what you need to do. Pitted
coercion.
Pitted people
That's
against
right.
each other. And it's why the churches are empty now over there.
In Europe.
And here, we will go down that same path unless we know our scriptures. Don't devalue the Old Testament.
Yeah.
It's the Old and New Testament, Judeo-Christian mm-hmm. values. It plays an important role. And put those things together and walk. It's time to grab the hem of a Jew.
Yeah.
It's time to reach out to our Jewish brethren for no other reason other than we love other people.
That's right.
And we cherish what they bring to the table, just like I hope they cherish what we can bring to
yeah.
the table.
Well, it's because we're starting to show some of that love that Jews in Israel are saying, whoa, explain
David,
to us.
When they were,
what's this?
We did three nights. Remember when we did Restoring yep. Courage? We did three nights. We were the first Christians to be allowed to speak at the temple steps.
Yeah.
Okay, no Christians have been able to do that since the Romans.
Yeah,
that was a Jew that allowed us to do it.
Yeah.
It was Rabbi Rabinowitz,
yeah.
the chief rabbi
chief
of the holy of the
That's
holy
right.
places, and he was the one who said, "Yes, you can do that." We were the first group of Christians to ever do a remembrance to the Holocaust in Israel. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't
First
know that.
First Christians to do a remembrance
wow.
of the Holocaust.
Wow.
Not for the righteous among the nations, but for the Jews that were lost.
Wow.
That night, that was the second night, we saw that there was this block of Jewish people that were sitting there, and they had bought tickets to each night. And they sat back, and they watched. And the second night, one of my staff approached them and said, "Hi, how are you? Where are you from?" They said, "We're from here." "What are you doing?" "We're just coming to see." They met them after the third event, and they were all weeping. And they approached one of my people and said, "You really mean it. You guys really mean it. We didn't believe. Thank you." Can you imagine buying tickets to three events put on by somebody of a different faith and sitting there and watching and listening, and then the third night just coming up to somebody crying so moved that you don't want anything from us. You accept us.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
That's what a blessing that will be when the world can say, "Yes, we love you. We accept you."
I do remember that when those nights were over, that we got word back from city officials, "You're the first Christians that have come here and haven't wanted something."
Yeah.
No, we just came to stand. Because at that time, to set the stage going back, this is when the UN, it looked like, was going to try to unilaterally
yeah.
impose a Palestinian state in Israel without Israel's right to self-exist or anything else. And so we were contacting nations across the world saying, come to Israel and stand with Israel.
Yeah.
And that was all it was. That, we weren't,
that was it. David, you remember, you were with me. I mean, you were with me when we let the Lord direct our footsteps.
Yeah.
And that first night we got there, we only had, what was it, 48 hours on the ground?
Oh, yeah.
And it was really tight. And we were there. And that first night I met with Christian leaders. And one Christian leader said, why should I help you? You're Mormon. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Okay, I don't know how to deal with that, but okay, thank you. Then I met with a politician from Israel. And he said, so how do we work this politically? What can we gain from this? I was ready to throw myself off the balcony. I was like, you got to be kidding me. And I said, I don't know. There's no political gain here. We're doing it because it's right. We're doing it because it's right. And that right after that meeting, I got up and I grabbed some of my crew and I said, we're going to go find a Jewish ice cream place because I've got to have ice cream now because this is not going to work out. And the Lord just changed people's hearts if you just try to do the right thing.
Just love.
Nothing to gain.
That's right.
Just love.
Just serve.
Yeah.
Go in and serve. And that's been a hard thing for people to grasp. But you know what? It should be easier for Americans because of all the contributions that Jews have made. And I got to hit a mentality here because as we at Wall Builders have done things to help Israel, as you, Mercury One, have as well, we get a lot of pushback from Christians saying, what are you thinking? They're the old covenant. And first off, let me throw out this quote by John Adams. John Adams says, I will insist that the Hebrews have done more to civilize men than any other nation. They preserve and propagate to all mankind the doctrine of a supreme, intelligent, wise, almighty sovereign of the universe, which I believe to be the great essential principle of all morality and consequently of all civilization.
They're a parentage.
And Romans 11 is so clear. Paul says, hey, he may have temporarily broken off the branches, but don't you forget that they're the roots. You're grafted into
roots.
They're not grafted into you. It's Christians that are grafted into Jews. And as Paul says, it's the roots that hold you up. You don't hold the roots up.
I love John Hagee. John Hagee said to me one time, we were sitting someplace, and he leans over and he said, I think a lot of Christians are going to be surprised when Jesus comes back. And I said, why is that? And he said, because I think he's going to speak Hebrew. and we, as Christians, try to wring the Jew out of Jesus.
Yeah.
It's insulting.
Yeah.
It's insulting. And Abraham is a Jew.
Even American.
Yeah, I know. I know. I mean, it's crazy what we have forgotten. And without, if we would have just gotten the New Testament, and the Old Testament would have been lost, I wonder if we would have ever been founded.
Oh, no.
Ten Commandments, everything.
I was talking with a legislator recently, and he called me and said, I need some help. I got a fellow legislator, he's a Christian, he's beat me up over this and whatnot. And I just gave him some questions to ask, because this other guy says, hey, Christian, that's Old Testament stuff. We live in the New Testament. I said, here's what you ask him. I said, ask him if he thinks that arson is wrong. Ask him if he thinks that infanticide, killing a kid after it's already born, is wrong. Ask him if he thinks that bestiality, sex with animals, is wrong. And I gave him a bunch of things.
Right.
And he said, yeah, they're all wrong. I said, they're only found in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
None of that is condemned in the New Testament because that's God's moral law. And the Old Testament establishes our morality, our behavior across the board. And we say, oh, no.
It was the milk before meat.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And so the New Covenant didn't discard that. Now, it gave us a way of righteousness that's different.
Sacrifice,
that's right.
It got rid of
ceremonial law.
Yeah.
That's right.
Got rid of that part of it.
But we owe who we are as Christians to the Old Testament. And had they not, as Witherspoon said, had they not been faithful in the trust that God gave them, we wouldn't exist today. And I love what you were saying, too, about love. I mean, if we don't get back to the love stuff, and by the way, if you want to understand why you should love, go back and study Christian history from the Jewish point of view. See what Christians did to Jews for all those years, and it'll explain to you exactly why you need to demonstrate love.
Go back to the Jewish rabbi, Jesus, and the Good Samaritan. It was
He chose?
By the way, just for anybody who wants to call it the West Bank, Judea and Samaria. The Good Samaritan.
Yeah.
But it was the Samaritan who was the least likely, the least, had the least in common.
He's the dregs.
Right. And the one that every Jew would say, not that guy, not that guy. And what are we doing? Mm-hmm. For anybody who is saying, well, they're not of my faith, boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Well, I remember clearly in Luke 10, the story of the Good Samaritan, as he was leaning over him, he said, before I help you, what faith are you? And wait a minute, I don't think it went that way. I think he looked down and saw a need and said, I'm going to meet the need.
Because we're all human.
He didn't have any qualifications. He didn't care what the label was. He didn't care that he was from the wrong people group. He didn't care any of that stuff. He just showed love.
It's not about them, it's about us.
It's about us.
It's about us.
It's about us. Yeah.
Where do we go from here? What is the place that you say?
You
got to know this.
One of the things that kept Israel on track was they knew their history. God was really good with the Jews about saying, teach the next generation. And you teach. And time after time, he says, don't forget the former times. Don't forget the former days. One of the things I can point to is the Founders Bible. Because what we go through is point out all the stuff that we rely on that came out of Jewish heritage, Jewish tradition, Jewish history that we don't get in schools anymore, and we definitely don't get in churches anymore. We've touched a tiny bit. There's so much more Jewish Christian heritage in America that people need to know about. And once you get that, it's a whole lot easier to say, here's the way I need to behave today. You start figuring out who we have been, why God blessed who we had been, why God blessed us in so many ways that we may not even understand today. You see that and you say, got it. I can do that now and perpetuate the blessing that God's had on this nation by what I do here.
Thank you, David.
Thanks for being here, Glenn.
Thank you for watching Foundations of Freedom. For more information about America's true story, visit wallbuilders.com. You'll find resources like the Founder's Bible, David Barton's most significant work. No other book brings together your history, your government, and your Bible in a cherished volume you'll revisit time and again. Reignite your passion for America and your love for the Word of God with the Founder's Bible. Visit wallbuilders.com.